Local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles.
And Rami.
On Sacktown Sports.
Get to the Kings in a minute. Whether or not Rami and I think that kicking the salary cap space can down the road a little bit is the best option for the Kings. Just heard about Domingo Germán. We'll talk about this a little bit later. But if you throw a perfect game against the Oakland A's, did you really throw a perfect game?
That was my first question. That was my first immediate question.
Should it count?
I honestly don't know. He did it against basically a double-A roster.
Yeah. Should that count? And I know he's going to count it. But should we all count it?
And I'm a baseball nerd. Normally, a perfect game happens, and first of all, I'll hear about it while it's. I didn't even hear about this while it was happening yesterday. I turned on SportsCenter late at night and saw that it happened, but I'll hear about it, and then I'll see if I can turn it on and watch history happen. I don't know even if I heard about it if I would go and watch just because it was the A's, and I don't put a lot of stock in anything that happens on a baseball field that the A's are playing on.
Yeah, they stink.
All right, so is that wrong of me to say?
No. Okay. Let's get to the Kings. Obviously, we are now 24 hours on the dot, Rami, 24 hours away from NBA free agency.
Startled me with your clap.
And we talked about this throughout the week. All these names, Chris Middleton, Kyle Kuzma, some of the restricted free agents that have been tossed around like Cam Johnson. And you start to look at this free agent list. And you start to look at maybe the realistic options the Kings have. I think Middleton's going back. I've said that. I think Kuzma's going to price himself out. When you look at the list of free agents, when you look at the options that the Kings have, is it better for Monty to just kick the can down the road and say, hey, we've got all of this space, but I'm not going to rush to a bad decision. I'm not going to spend money just because I have money. Maybe we're better off being a little bit conservative right now, holding on to some of this cap space, and maybe we reevaluate our team at the trade deadline and see what can happen then.
I think there are guys out there who can help the Kings, who bring to the table some things that the Kings need in free agency, Nick, and they have the money to go and get those players. But I also know that the Kings don't exist in a vacuum. You know what I mean? That there are going to be other teams that are going to be after the services of some of these very same players. And things could shake out to where you don't get your first, second, or third option. And you're sitting there looking at option number four. And honestly, at that point, I don't know exactly what the names would be or who exactly we're talking about. But yeah, you might look at it and go, maybe we're forcing this. You know what I mean? Maybe we're just spending this money just to spend this money just because we have it. And just because you have it doesn't mean that it's necessarily a good idea to spend it, Nick. If the free agent chips don't fall the Kings' way and you're looking at some not-so-tantalizing options out there on the market, yeah, I don't mind them sitting on that money and waiting. I would be, I mean, along the way, I'd be going, you missed out on this guy, you missed out on this guy, you missed out on this guy. But once it's happened and it is what it is at that point, yeah, don't go spend it just to spend it if you don't get the guys who you actually have targeted going into the offseason.
Now, some of this is you've got to get to a floor as far as salary cap, so you can't just keep pushing all sure. of the money and everything yeah. into the future. But the idea is maybe you just don't feel the urgency to utilize all $35, $36 million of space that you have right now. Maybe you feel like signing one guy and then extending Domas would be the better idea and not necessarily going after one of these big names. Maybe you don't want to go out there and pay $35 million for Chris Middleton or $30 million for Draymond Green. You just look at it and you say to yourself, if you're Monty McNair, I don't necessarily find the desire to run after any of these guys. Kyle, would you be a fan of the Kings kicking some of the cap space down the road here?
I like the idea of short-term contracts. Like,
I would be in favor of, if there's not a one big guy that you like, signing a bunch of like 1 year with an option contracts, like say with a Trey Lyles, or we threw out Torian Prince as a joke. I think you use all the cap space for next year, but you don't have to commit 3-4 years down the road.
Well, Torian Prince as like one of the guys as a joke. I don't mind having him as a rotation guy.
We threw out Kelly Olynyk the other day as like a trade possibility. He's got 1 year, $12 million on the books. Like, that's a great way to spend your money, is spend it in the short term and prioritize flexibility for 2024.
Which, by the way, that was picked up today by his contract. Kelly Olynyk is going to stay in Utah as of right now. Of course, he can get dealt, but he's the option's been picked up, so he's going to be in Utah for that $12+ million. You know, what I would say is I'm in favor of upgrading without losing your tuchus. Like, I would not go out and overspend like bananas. And that's what I've been talking about. When we've talked about Kyle Kuzma, I've said, okay, Kuzma at $18 million or so. All right, I can live with Kyle Kuzma for $18 million or so. If you're telling me Kyle Kuzma for $28 million, no. There's no way I'd pay that dude $28 million a year. Sorry. I know some people like his game.
Somebody's paying him that. I'll tell
Somebody
you that right
even
now.
Love his game.
He's getting between 25
we'll
and 30 million.
We'll see.
Tillman Fertitta, you are the winner who gets 100 million for Kuzma.
Yeah, we'll see how much he ends up actually getting.
I'm pretty convinced he's going to get between 25 and 30 million.
I would say I wouldn't be surprised by 25. If he gets closer to 30, I think it's like, whoa. I mean, it's already an overpay at 25.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the Kings were the team to give it to him. I really wouldn't.
I just, look, don't overspend for minimal upgrades. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the Kings overspending for guys who improve them by a tick. Somebody who is barely better than Harrison Barnes for $25 million a year.
Like, I'm not saying I necessarily disagree with you, but I don't think that the Kings or anybody else who goes in for that type of money on a Kyle Kuzma is doing it thinking that he only improves you a tick. I think people see something there in Kyle Kuzma and think that he could be more than just an uptick.
Oh, look,
in
there's no doubt. If you're willing to spend that kind of money on Kuzma, you believe in Kuzma more than I believe in Kuzma, because I would not be willing to spend
right.
that money on
exactly.
Kuzma. But I just, for me, minimal updates or upgrades, I mean, I'm just not going to sit there and say, all right, man, like, if Kyle Kuzma is on this team instead of Harrison Barnes, if you think that improves you by 5 wins, okay, right? Like 4 or 5 wins, 3 to 4 wins, okay. But if the difference between Kuzma and HB is going to get you an extra win, you're going to pay $10 extra million per year to get 1 or 2 more wins out of Kuzma. You have to believe in the idea that he makes your team that much better to spend that money. And I hope the Kings, I'm not saying be frugal. I just don't want them to go out there.
Spend wisely.
Like, yeah. I don't want them walking in with the money gun and going crazy. Like, I know you got the cap space. Another thing I don't want to see, and this has been part of the conversation around Chris Middleton, and less so Brooke Lopez, because I think you might be able to get Lopez on like a 2-year deal. Middleton might cost you 3 or 4 years. I don't want the Kings to overspend on older guys or guys that can't play defense. If you overspend on somebody who's 33, 34 years old, or somebody who is not a good defender, that to me is a waste of resources. You have to get better defensively. We haven't talked about it enough.
Chris Middleton is a good team defender. He's not going to lock anybody down one-on-one.
Like, we've spent a lot of time talking about all of these, you know, all of these guys and what they can do. And most of those conversations have been based on offense. Most of those things have been based on offense. They need some defense, man. Offense was not the problem last year. So I don't want them spending $30, $35 million on a guy who you can't trust defensively, which has been my argument about Kuzma, because he chooses. He decides when he wants to play defense. I want somebody who buys into that. So I don't want you to overspend for somebody who's older or doesn't play good defense. Flexibility is key. If you're Monty right now, you have tons of flexibility. It's something that Chris Biederman talked about in this very segment 24 hours ago. Having that flexibility, having that cap space. You don't necessarily have to go out and spend a bunch of money on Kyle Kuzma. What if you're patient? Maybe somebody else who's much better than Kuzma by the trade deadline pops up. If you feel like you upgrade this team a significant amount by bringing in Kuzma, then go right ahead. Go right ahead, spend the money on Kuzma, get the job done, and we'll see if he makes you 4 or 5 games better. That's Monty's call, obviously not mine. Me, I don't think he is that much of an upgrade over HB to justify spending that kind of money. So just don't go bananas. And I don't think Monty's going to. I think that's why we're hearing about HB. I know Carmichael Dave tweeted out yesterday morning that, you know, momentum is picking up with the Barnes talks. It's certainly, from what I read and hear and see, it seems like HB coming back is much more likely right now than it was maybe 3 or 4 days ago. Mm-hmm. And that might be because Monty's looking around. It's buyer beware. It's like, I don't want to pay that money. I'm not going to overspend on somebody who's not going to make us that much better.
I think it's going to be a hard pill for Kings fans to swallow if there aren't upgrades. Or one significant upgrade, one big swing. It's going to be a hard pill to swallow, man. After getting the 3 seed and having the 3rd most cap space in the entire NBA, and you're telling me, and I get the reasoning in it, but you're telling me that Kings fans are going to have to sit on or watch them sit on $15, $16 million or whatever the case might be after they re-sign Harrison Barnes, bring in Sasha Vezenkov, and not make any other real major upgrades or additions.
Jake Fisher's reporting we're probably going to re-sign Lyles, too.
There's that.
So I just think, I know it's not the sexy thing, and I know it's not that, I don't want that. I want the Kings to make a massive upgrade. I want them to make a significant upgrade. But I don't want them to spend stupid money. I don't want them to overspend for a minimal upgrade. I don't want them to spend for less defense. I don't want them to spend for a guy who's in his mid-30s.
The more we talk about it, the more I like the idea of getting 2 or 3 guys that bring some attributes to the table, yeah, that could help you.
Yeah.
Like a Brook Lopez-Bruce Brown combination with the $35 million you have to spend. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it a little bit earlier, and, you know, the idea of, if you ask me what I thought's going to happen, I think it's going to be HB returning and another one of those guys that's between $15 and $18 million. If you told me it was HB and Bruce Brown on like 2-year deals, I could see that happening. And I think you make your team better. And then you hope in that situation that, you know, Keegan improves and develops into an actual bona fide number 2 score. By the way, the accountability police have texted in.
Uh-oh.
Yes. And the text line, 916-339-1140. Everything Cattle said yesterday regarding James Harden was 100% wrong.
Wrong.
The texter, the texter would be happy to know that I've already said that. When we started the show with the James Harden news that he's opted in to be traded, I said it. Said everything I said yesterday was wrong. I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. I'm fine with it. And
I'll do it as soon as I am. You know what I mean?
I thought Daryl Morey would take care of his guy. And I thought that the deal last year was a wink-wink deal for Harden to get more money this year and giddy up. But now he's going to be dealt. So, yeah, I was wrong. Listen, if I was right 100% of the time, I'd be a billionaire living on some island.
Also, is that correct? Wrong.
Whoa.
That's very loud. Kyle, you need to turn down your levels over there, dude.
That hurt, dude.
You literally just blew out Nick's eardrums.
Holy crap.
You okay there?
Coming in hot.
You okay?
My word.
You okay over there?
Yeah, and then you came in hot. Check them levels. Woof. That legit hurt my right ear.
Let's try that again, then.
Can you just stop talking for a minute?
Is that correct? Wrong.
Okay, that's what he was going for.
Oof.
It was
shot through my head like a bullet. It's like Mad Dog just walked up to my right ear and screamed into it. I was like, oh.
It was startling.
Oh. All right, so your thoughts. Would you rather have the Kings kick the salary cap space down the road? At least a little bit of it. We're not saying kick all of it and don't spend anything and, you know, just run out there with nobody. Would you much rather have them kick that can down the road instead of maybe overspending from one of these guys? You know, the free agency list isn't that sexy. It really isn't. It's not incredible, especially when you start figuring out the guys who are probably going to return where they were, like, you know, Chris Middleton and those players. So your thoughts, 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. We'll get your thoughts on the Kings. We also have a little bit of an update on the James Harden situation. Brian Windhorst is at it again with a theory, a possibility.
Our fingers waving.
We'll get to that in more in 90 seconds.
Is that correct? Wrong. 50.
Your afternoon home for Kings talk and more.
This is Cattles and Rami
on Sacktown Sports.
All right, we got a couple of updates here. James Harden talk, Kings talk.
He's already getting nuts, man.
Yeah, James Harden, if you're just joining us, opting into the final year of his deal with Philly, but he's not going to stay in Philly. He's opting in to be traded. Clippers, Knicks have been mentioned. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that those two teams have been in talks with the 76ers. Shams Charania saying that the 76ers did not see a long-term future with Harden. So here's another Brian Windhorst moment. He was just on PTI, and he said, well, it now appears that Philly may be in need of a point guard, and there may be an option there for Kyrie.
Wow.
Kyrie, Joel Embiid.
Wow.
That actually might kind of work.
Kyrie, his name has just been thrown all
everywhere.
Over the place.
It's everywhere.
For a guy who seemingly doesn't have much of a market at all, there's a lot of
suddenly
teams being
there's
thrown
a market.
Out.
Sounds like contract negotiations aren't going very well with the Mavericks.
And it feels like, of course, every time something happens, we have to talk about Damian Lillard. And so Windhorst threw Dame Dalla in there, too. So the other name here is Lillard. Is it possible that Philly, if Harden moves out, could acquire assets from L.A., put their assets together, and prepare an offer for Dame?
No, I'm not going to lie. Dame and Joel Embiid, that's a scary combo, those two together.
Dame tweeted out 8 minutes ago.
Oh.
You have to imagine this is part of the whole ether now, right? This is not a coincidence. Dame tweets out, survived too many storms to be bothered by raindrops.
That's deep, man.
Confucius say.
That's very deep.
It's very very wise of Dame Dalla.
Quoting Aaron Rodgers.
I have survived too many storms to be bothered by raindrops.
Man. It's going to take a lot of crumble cookies to trade for Dame Lillard, though.
I'm going to think about that all night, that quote. That's deep.
Does get you thinking, doesn't it?
It does.
All right, let's get to some
my
of
perspective on things.
The reaction from the fine people listening and watching the program, especially those on YouTube, youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. Also want to remind you that all guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Captain Obvious posts, if we preserved some cap space, we could make a trade deadline move, but that threatens the chemistry of the team mid-season. That would be like betting against a successful start to next season. I do not want to hear about the whole chemistry thing. Okay? You guys wanted to talk to me about that last year at the deadline. Chemistry. We had people saying that they shouldn't trade anybody because of chemistry. Anybody. Keep them all. Alex Len, chemistry. Keon Ellis, chemistry. Well, what if I told you if you traded some chemistry last year at the deadline and you got through the Warriors to get to the second round? Would you trade the chemistry for a second round invitation this last postseason? Would you be okay? Would you risk the chemistry?
Yeah, do we really have to point out you want better basketball players? Like, I'm not saying chemistry is not a thing, but you can't like Kings fans want, they're happy with last season, but they want them to get better. And to get better, you have to get better basketball players. And to make room for those better basketball players, you're going to have to let go of some of the players that you currently have that are part of that chemistry. No roster is set in stone because of chemistry, man. That is just, that's not a thing. They'll figure it out. Guys will figure it out and get along just fine if Trey Lyles is not a King next year, or if Davion Mitchell is not a King next year, or whoever else, Harrison Barnes, you name it. They get it. They know the business that they're in and how this whole thing works. They're not going to stop doing anything because of, now they're not going to change the whole roster. That's when you might see some cracks in the foundation of the quote unquote chemistry or culture of a locker room. But they're not going to stop themselves from trading or changing one or two roster spots because they don't want to shake up the chemistry too much.
All right, let's get to the phones here. 1-800-920-1140 is the phone number. Text line is 916-339-1140. Let's go to Doug. Doug's up first. What's up, Doug?
First call, Doug. How you guys doing?
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
How's it going, Doug?
I'm good. I haven't been able to listen. I've been out of the country in Aruba.
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 Jamaica.
No.
Yeah, not it.
Yeah, you're going with the song. Good.
Yes, I was going with the song. Yes.
Ooh, I want to take it.
Good to be back. It's nice to be around for the
free agency
and all of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, every year we go through two, 3 weeks of excitement, and then most often not much happens. But it's exciting to talk about it. What if? I'm going to go back a few years and stuff in the sense that when the Lakers and Boston, which is your hometown, I assume, would go back and forth in the playoffs in the 80s, and the Lakers were short a guy to be able to guard. Paul Pierce. No, when Paul Pierce was with the Celtics. So this is back before LeBron. And they were out there looking to find that guy as a matchup, and they end up calling on Ron Artest. So I'm looking at it, I said, well, look at the teams that are in front of you, and are we really talking about addressing situations where the matchup would be better?
And, yeah, Doug, let me jump in. I appreciate the phone call, and I hope you enjoyed Aruba and had a great time there as well. A couple things. I do think this year is different because you actually have a number of assets at your disposal, and you have almost $36 million in cap space. In prior free agency years, you weren't coming off of a 48-win season, being the third seed in the Western Conference with the cap space and some of the assets that you have. So I think there's a clear difference between this offseason and what's going to happen or could happen tomorrow versus others. As far as matchup stuff and all of that, I've said this. I hope, and I have to imagine, with Mike Brown as the head coach, that Monty is focused on at least bringing in some defense. Because so far, like Kyle Kuzma, optional defensive player. Sasha Vezenkov, not expected to be a very good defensive player at the NBA level. Draymond Green, yes.
He's
but offensively, he's a clunky fit.
Right.
So, you know, what's that look like? I absolutely believe that they need to think of what can we do defensively to slow things down, because that was one of the biggest issues last year.
I don't know.
We got to figure that out.
He was saying, you don't necessarily put the pedal to the metal until you feel like you can pass all the teams ahead of you and make a real run at a championship. Was that ultimately his point?
Or you don't look for, you know, I think it was, you don't look for specific pieces unless you get to the point where, that's what I took out of it. The whole Paul Pierce, you need Ron Artest to defend.
Okay.
So who's our Kevon Looney stopper? We're not at that place yet.
Wilt Looney. Got to figure that out.
I don't think anyone can stop Jokic at this point.
Yeah, he killed us. My word. That was a thrashing. All right. We'll continue the Kings talk. They're going to do something big tomorrow. Our friend Sean Cunningham will join us to talk about that next.
Cattles and Rami. Sacktown Sports.
All right. Let's get to one of the best in the business here in Sacramento. Our friend Sean Cunningham of Fox 40 joins us on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Sean, as always, we appreciate your time, my man. There are reports today, Sean, that Kyle Kuzma could be headed to Houston. Do you think the Kings are out on Kuzma?
No, I don't know that they'd necessarily be out. Certainly, that would be quite a money grab for Kyle Kuzma, as Houston is obviously one of those teams that have a lot of cap space. But I think it's a way in the next, 24, 48 hours, however things kind of play out, for a lot of liar's poker to be kind of taking place. And, there's all kinds of options possibilities that can happen, especially if you see all this James Harden news that's going on, some wild circumstances. And if anyone thought this might be a little bit of a quiet offseason, it certainly is it's kind of setting up and as really has proven to be anything but. So, no, I don't know that I would totally buy that, but I think Sacramento's still an option if they want to spend some money. I feel like Kyle Kuzma is one of those players that's going to go for the best contract that he can find that's the most lucrative.
Yeah, Nick asked me earlier what I believe of all these rumors that have been floating around. I said nothing, Sean. I believe absolutely nothing. It's lying season right now is what it is. And I think a lot of people maybe assumed or jumped to the conclusion that when the Kings freed up all that cap space with jettisoning Rashawn Holmes off to Dallas along with the number 24 pick, that they had one big swing in mind. But the more that I hear, the more I think it's possible it might be two or three smaller swings that they spend this money on. How likely a possibility do you think that is?
Well, I think either is very possible. In fact, I'd probably take the latter as the more likely because of the team's interest still in guys like Harrison Barnes. I think that's going to be a move that is likely done. I think, the new wrinkle this year is teams being able to, negotiate with their own free agents the day after the finals end. So they've had weeks now to really and really leading up to that throughout the season, know where Harrison Barnes and his team is at and what they're looking for. But, everything gets a little bit tighter the week of and the days before Friday. So I think you kind of circle the wagons again and you kind of get back to the table and you kind of figure out what that number is. And certainly I think the Kings have a number that they're willing to bring him back at, with them talking about Harrison Barnes. If Harrison Barnes wants to go find a more lucrative deal, possibility with Indiana, maybe that's Dallas, maybe that's another team that just pops up. But I would think that the interest is still very much high. And I don't think that that's really all that telling in terms of or any surprise. I think there's a lot of Kings fans that might be disappointed in that, thinking that they could upgrade that position. But I still think that the possibility is there to upgrade that position with maybe a smaller tertiary move or a smaller rotationary piece, because the one thing that this team keeps harping on, and I was just at minicamp today, and you hear Luke Laux talking about, continuity and chemistry and not wanting to totally, upset the apple cart here, even in the summer league. And you've got guys like Keegan Murray who are, back to play a small portion of summer league and having him play a different role and kind of find his voice. So getting back to the free agency discussion, I think that they want to be very careful with the cap room, but certainly being a player in this market, and whether that's a swing for the fences type move, doesn't mean you have to go out and overpay. Doesn't matter who they're bringing in. I think still the golden prize at the end of the day, their number one priority is not free agency. It's keeping Domantas Sabonis from becoming an unrestricted free agent next year. And if they can do that this year with an extension for him, freeing up some of the cap space this summer that they've done already, will certainly play a role into that. And I'll say, you guys know this better than anybody. If you're going to be a player in the NBA, top three, top five team in your conference, the likelihood of you being over the cap is very, very high. So
yeah.
There's cap space, and then, we talk about this money as if it's ours. It's not. And you want to be responsible with it, and you don't want to be in a situation much like the Warriors are now, but at least they've got some shiny trophies to show for it and, generational talents to show for it. The Kings don't have that. So I'm not worried about cap space when it comes to the end of the day, and to show that they freed up a bunch to be able to go out and be a player on this open market just means that they're relevant. And you mentioned there's a lot of liars, poker, and it's going on, and absolutely there is. It's a new space for the Kings to be in. I can tell you that the phone has not stopped blowing up. I mean, you've got agents and all kinds of scouts and people and executives throughout the league who are just chatting a whole lot about the Sacramento Kings, and there's a lot of garbage that's being thrown around, and at the end of the day, something's going to stick.
Sean Cunningham with us. Sean, let's ask you about Sasha Vezenkov. A lot of talk about him over the last few months, really over the last year. It's settled down a little bit over the last couple of weeks. The last we saw was a report from Greece saying that the Kings had offered Vezenkov a little bit less per year than what Keegan is set to make. I took that as the $7.7 million room exception is what the Kings offered. That's my guess on it. How confident are you that they can bring in Vezenkov?
Yeah, nothing's changed there. I mean, I think I was on the station. I said 90% about a month or so back when Euro Cup was going on, and certainly that hasn't wavered. I mean, the Kings have all the confidence in the world that they'll be able to go out and bring him to Sacramento. It's a move that really they wanted to do last year, but they just didn't really have the money to go out and do it. And certainly the money he can make this year is far and above what they were going to give him last year. So it coincided with great success over there. I think it's all in his camp. I mean, whether or not he wants to, you know, make a fortune to come over here and play in the States and in the NBA level at the highest level of basketball and walk away from really his home and where he's treated like a superstar and he's had a great deal of success. So that might be the only little wiggle room there, but certainly from a Kings perspective, they're all in on him. They're banking on him being in Sacramento, and I come to expect it later on this offseason.
You know, leading up to up to draft night, there was some chatter out there that maybe the Kings could move a Davion Mitchell or maybe even a Kevin Huerter in some kind of trade to upgrade the roster. Since opening up the cap space, that seems to have died down. Do you think that's something that's still in play? Is free agency the route now to improve this team, or do you think a trade is still something that might be on the table?
No, I think trades are certainly on the table. I mean, they're having conversations all the time, and when you open up the cap space, you know, you're able to absorb more as well. So there's possibilities that are out there. Sign and trades seem to be a lot more rare these days than in years past. So, I don't know if that's the route that you'll see, but with free agency opening tomorrow, gentlemen, I think that, you know, this is just kind of you position yourself well to go out and make a splash. And if some of these, you know, I think you have guys in mind that you'd like to make offers to. I think, you know, we mentioned Kyle Kuzma a few minutes ago. You know, there's probably a handful of others. I think the tough part is you might have interest in guys that are, you know, restricted free agents, and that can be tough. Signing someone like a Cam Johnson to an offer sheet and then having to wait for that period for either Brooklyn to immediately match, or, you know, spend that time where, you know, they've got the multitude of days, and then meanwhile everything else is going on around you. So not that he would maybe require the full, you know, cap space that's been freed up, but you've got decisions to make. So if you can't come to an agreement with someone like Harrison Barnes, who you do hold the bird rights on, and you can go over the cap to sign, there's a possibility of renouncing him. And I don't think that'll be a possibility, but I just think, you know, the right now they're going to be looking at free agency here in the next day or two. But don't take trades off the table, because as you're about to see with Philadelphia, you could easily see the Kings get attached to something like that very, very quickly.
Sean, great stuff, man. As always, we're going to enjoy the next 24, 36, 48 hours and everything that happens. I'm sure you'll be all over it as well. And enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your 4th of July, my man.
Thank you, guys. You too. Appreciate you having me on anytime.
Thank you. There goes Sean Cunningham from Fox 40, friend of the program. And, of course, he was on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. So two things that really stood out to me, obviously. Sean said, and I just tweeted this to quote him, make sure I had it right. Sean says he would not say that the Kings are out on Kuzma. He's not willing to go there. He does not believe the Kings are out on Kuzma just yet. And he also believes that 90% chance, 90% shot of Vezenkov coming here to Sacramento. He said that about a month or so ago, a month and a half ago. He still feels as strongly about Vezenkov as he did then. He says 90%. And don't rule anything out.
It's good news.
Anything is possible.
I would like to see Vezenkov come over.
Up next, a historical feat by a controversial athlete.
Your afternoon home for Kings talk and more.
This is Cattles and Rami
on Sacktown Sports.
Este Uri Ruiz stands in his way. Grounded to third. history. The fourth perfect game in Yankees history. And you will always remember where you were June 28th of 2023.
Said this earlier. Is it actually a perfect game when it happens in Oakland against the A's?
If a tree falls in the forest?
Yeah.
That type of thing?
This is
so shady. I can't believe Jay's not here to bring you up.
All 2,000 people there, they seem pretty fired up.
Oh,
about
it was 5,000 because it was the Yankees.
It was 5,000. Yeah. It was 5,000 paid.
I was going to say, Frankie Cardicelli was the man. I say, Frankie Cardicelli, Frankie C in the place to be. He
good
was last
him.
Night.
Good for him. He got to witness history.
That's how I found out about it. I saw on his Instagram, and I got so happy for him.
See, if Frankie wasn't there, you wouldn't know, Simone, which just backs up Nick's notion that if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it.
Thank you.
Did it really happen?
Does a perfect game count if it's against, without, I'm not even joking, the worst baseball team of all time statistically?
They just might be.
Domingo Herman might have had a perfect game last night. 9 strikeouts. Perfect game, 9 strikeouts. Pretty good. What I love about this, and we'll get back to King's talk in a little bit, but there are other things happening we wanted to touch on here for a couple of minutes. I always find it interesting that, you know, how many guys that have thrown perfect games that just they haven't necessarily had good careers or great career, like, you know, Herman was entering into last night with an ERA over 5. And he just throws a perfect game with 9 strikeouts.
Yeah.
It's because just so weird. You can have all-time greats not come close.
Baseball is the most random sport.
It is.
It really is. And the mere notion that a team would get 27 straight outs with not an error, not a walk, not a hit by pitch, not nothing, not a drop third strike, nothing, is the most random thing that could happen, Nick. And I don't want to say it has nothing to do with who's on the mound, but it doesn't have as much to do with who's on the mound as you might think when that particular phenomena occurs of 27 consecutive outs by the same lineup. It just doesn't happen, man. It simply doesn't happen. And I know we're poo-pooing it because it's the A's, but even against offenses that bad, it doesn't happen. So I think it does deserve some recognition. But you're right about the quality of pitcher not necessarily having any correlation whatsoever with the list of guys that have thrown perfect games over the course of Major League Baseball's history.
It's so strange.
It's weird.
2 of the 24 went to my high school.
That's even weirder.
That's weird.
Even more random.
That is really weird. So shout out to Domingo Herman, I guess. Shout out to Frankie. But there's another part of this story. The other part of this story is not a fun one. So Domingo Herman was suspended, 81 games for domestic abuse?
Mm-hmm.
And it just really it begs the question of how much can you look past as a fan? Like, if you're a Yankee fan, you're Frankie last night at the A's game.
Oh, he is a Yankees fan, isn't he? That's right.
That's why, yeah.
Is there any part of you that feels a little bit icky? Going crazy, losing your mind, cheering for a guy, throwing a perfect game because of the checkered past, because of the domestic abuse? As a fan, does that bug you? Like, I remember when I was in Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
And all the Adrian Peterson stuff came out. And people were rocking Adrian Peterson jerseys and cheering for him at the – and I'm just like – I didn't feel right to me. Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, any of those.
Yeah, you can't help but feel
Aroldis Chapman
a little bit icky. But I'll go back to something that I often say. People are not disposable, man. And even when they make some of the worst and most horrendous mistakes that they can make, I look at them and hope that they do the work to be reformed and rehabilitated. And from what I understand, he has done some of that work, and his wife has taken him back since then. So, I mean, I'm not in his circle to know how much of the work he's done and if he's really a better person, reformed,
right,
rehabilitated. But I hope he is. I hope that's the case, and this is sort of a redemption story, or part of a redemption story when we talk about him. To just cast people off, man, it doesn't do anybody any good. And I feel that initial knee-jerk reaction of the rage and the disgust and wanting a pound of flesh. But at the end of the day, that's not what's best for anybody involved. So hopefully this is all part of a turnaround for the young man.
Cattles and Rami here on a Thursday. Glad you're with us as always. Another controversial story in sports is this NFL gambling investigation. And we talked about this earlier this week, Rami, that the NFL was going to announce some more names of guys who were going to get suspended. And there were going to at least be multiple dudes who get suspended for the entire season. And those names are now out there. We were wondering if they were going to be, you know, big names, stars. So Isaiah Rodgers we knew about. Mm-hmm. Rodgers has been suspended indefinitely. He was is the main word here because he was cut today. He was the Colts cornerback kick returner. Now he's looking for a job. Indefinite suspension for him. Colts, Rashad Berry. The Colts obviously had an issue. Indefinitely suspended. Free agent Demetrius Taylor, indefinitely suspended. And Titans Nicholas Petit-Frere got 6 games. Now, here's the thing about Petit-Frere. He actually made a statement for himself to share what happened to him. He says, "Firstly, I wanted to say that it's an honor to play in the NFL. Been a blessing to play this game. The NFL plans to announce another round of sanctions regarding its gambling policies, and I will be included in this group of players receiving a 6-game suspension. The betting I engaged in was not, all in caps, NFL-related and was legal under Tennessee law. It is only being sanctioned because it occurred at the Titans facility." So Petit-Frere is saying that he bet on a college football game, he bet on a basketball game, and he's getting 6 games for that. And it's not because of what he bet on, mm-hmm. It's where he bet on it.
Yeah, this is one of those wrinkles in the rules that I talked about. That is could easily fly off the radar for somebody and make this type of mistake, Nick. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. The betting on the league, betting on football games, that's something that never has been and never will be condoned by the NFL. That's just dumb behavior, and the league has to come down hard on that type of stuff. I don't necessarily get the rule of not being allowed to gamble on a team's property, facilities, on team travel in the hotel, et cetera. I'm sure they have their reasons, but those little types of rules that guys can get caught up in, I think are going to be the types of violations that we continue to see until the message gets out there and guys are really educated on what they can and can't do. I'm with you though. I would just say zero tolerance policy and just don't gamble on sports while you're playing in the NFL or any other major professional sports league.
So to answer some of the questions we had earlier this week, no big names surfaced. Is that because no big names are gambling? There are no stars or superstars gambling? Find that hard to believe. I have to imagine that stars/superstars have just found better ways to maybe skirt the rules or. Maybe just maybe the NFL, if you're a real conspiracy theorist, put the tinfoil hat on. Maybe the NFL is, you know, protecting some of those big names. Or maybe those big names are using guys like the guys that just got popped. So Calvin Ridley is pretty much, from my recollection, the biggest name that's been wrapped up in all of this.
Yeah. Probably him or Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams is a good one. I forgot about him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he hasn't played in the league, right? He played a couple games last year.
Yeah, he played like 8 or 9 games, but
because of his ACL.
11th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Oh, I know who he is. I'm just saying Calvin really had more of a, you know, substantial foot in the game.
Yeah, I agree. Those are just the two.
So we'll see if any superstars. Quarterbacks are the one I'm watching. Any big-name quarterbacks get wrapped up in this? Is the NFL willing to show some chutzpah and suspend those guys indefinitely? I could see it where, like, some big-name quarterback gets caught doing something, and they pop him for, like, a few games. They get, like, the 6-game suspension instead of the indefinite suspension.
I mean, isn't all this stuff kind of turnkey? Like, the suspension, the penalties are...
Well, yes, but the NFL has to tell you what they were suspended
for.
That
is true. Yeah, that is true.
Hey, Patrick, we know you've been putting 5 Gs on the Chiefs every week, but we'll just say that you bet on the NBA at the facility.
God, could you imagine?
You're going to have to get 6 games, buddy.
In that case, what did Rodgers do? Because they came out and they were like, yeah, he placed a $1,000 bet on a Colts running back prop bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Well, he had a bunch of, apparently he had a bunch of random like $20 and $50 bets, and then all of a sudden he had one bet that was a G on the over rushing yards for the Colts.
Uh-huh.
So obviously
think he might have known something.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The inside track, if you will.
Wow.
Seems like Isaiah knew something. He might have been tipped off a little bit on that one.
Wow.
His ears perked up.
But if the league is protecting the stars, he really got screwed because now he's got the most severe punishment of any.
He's like, what was that? What was that? Put a G on it.
Saw the game plan that week.
Like, why don't...
This scheme is going to work out.
This isn't difficult, okay? Call a friend. I mean, this isn't rocket science.
Right. It didn't work out so great for that Alabama coach that got popped for betting at the Red Stadium.
I mean, like, tell a friend.
Right.
Create a Fugazi account.
Right.
Put money in the Fugazi account.
There are ways around this.
Right. Yeah.
We're not encouraging this, by the way.
No. Well, who cares?
Just follow the rules.
Listen,
is what I say.
The blueprint,
I don't know what Nick
will.
Is talking about. I say follow all the rules. Don't try to skirt them.
Betting is legal. You do it legally. All I'm saying is you can legally create an account and put money in it and bet on it. People do that. It's completely illegal. I mean, legal. See? You got me. The bam, bam, bam threw me off.
Completely illegal.
Just get somebody you know, get a friend. He opens up an account and he puts bets in. And then maybe, just maybe, that friend is a very giving friend and will share some of the winnings with you. All right. Coming up, I'll tell you why the new CBA.
Follow the rules, kids.
I'll tell you why the new CBA in the NBA might change the Kings' approach with Domas this summer.